T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Chuck and Winkler, Milwaukee's longest running sports talk morning show. In one corner, a guy who has covered the Packers for 30 plus years. In the other, a Green Bay owner. Chuck and Winkler in the morning on The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. I wish these games were on Saturday. And I wish the Super Bowl was on Saturday, too. But they're not.
Yeah, or at least have the day off the... Well, I mean, it's Sunday's technically a Saturday for some people because Monday's the day off.
Yeah, a lot of people do have Martin Luther King Day off. We will be here with a live show, and we'll be covering the Bucks. They've got a day game on Monday, so we'll be there too. But I I'll be at work Monday morning. So if you have the day off, you know, remember why you have it off and enjoy it. But I don't. So
yeah, that would be what's that?
I don't have it off, so I'm going to wish it was on Saturday.
You could take Monday. You could have taken Monday off. I mean, you and I have both had the opportunity to take the day off on Monday because everybody else in the building, you know, they can't prevent you if you want to take a holiday off. You could take it off, then you get like a day later in the year. But you know,
that was never presented to me.
Well, I think it's just a given if you you know, unless it's you know, after a Packer game, obviously you and I are going to be here. But the NFC and AFC championship games will be Sunday. But I wish they were Saturday. I wish it was like a same thing. I wish it was like like they've been the last couple of weeks, like a 3:30 and 7 o'clock starts on Saturday.
Well, we've got a lot to discuss. We'll talk about the games. We'll talk about Drew Brees and his place in history alongside Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers has the one Super Bowl, and so does Drew Brees. And when you look at the quarterbacks in today's game and you think where they're going to rank historically, I think a lot of people look at all the quarterbacks right now and say, Brady, Rodgers, of all the quarterbacks playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
But if Brees gets another Super Bowl, will that change? So we'll go through the top five of who's playing now historically, and where Drew and Aaron and Tom, and I don't know why I went first names with those guys, but where they all rank historically. Also, we're going to get into the Bucks today. Eric Name's going to join us at 8:35. And Giannis is getting a lot of support with the All-Star game, but I don't know if he's getting that support specifically from Milwaukee. Like, how many people around here voted for Giannis in the All-Star game? I think a lot of us just take it for granted that the international community is going to have our back because Bledsoe's nowhere to be found. Middleton's nowhere to be found. But Giannis keeps improving on his vote total all the time. I don't think those votes are coming from America. I'm sure a handful of Bucks fans got pretty into the All-Star game, but there hasn't been a lot of buzz for it. The Bucks have put a few things out. We haven't talked about it much.
Well, I mean, do you think that Giannis is paying the Milwaukee tax that since he's here, he doesn't get the national attention?
I think that because he's here is part of it, but I also think that there's the international factor and that his name is spelt long. I think there's a lot of things against the average fan really falling in love for Giannis, like they fall in love for James Harden or they fell in love for Kobe Bryant or they fall in love for, you know, Russell Westbrook or these other guys.
Although when they go on the road, man, Giannis gets a lot of attention from the Greek population here in the country.
Right. So the international support, the Greek support.
Just a ton of it, man. Did you see that when he was at Madison? I mean, it happens all the time at Madison Square Garden. But Paschke was talking about the other day when he was on our show. Wherever he goes, it's the same thing. They get that, he gets that treatment. He's signing, visiting jerseys. And you see when he's running to the tunnel after the game, he's on the road in Atlanta or wherever, and people are throwing jerseys in front of him and wanting to sign stuff. And already, I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, next thing you know, it's Greek Heritage Night in Miami. It's Greek Heritage Night in Utah. It's Greek Heritage Night in Portland.
But look, in New York, they've been doing this for the last couple of years as Giannis was rising to become a star.
Well, New York's had, you know, of all the cities they go to, probably the biggest Greek population, and you do see videos, and you've seen the videos, and this year included, where there's just throngs of people waiting outside, and the Bucks bus has to like wait a little bit, and the guys seem all cool with it, but Giannis tries to sign as many autographs as he can, and so that's a cool thing. So there's definitely people. I mean, people like Giannis. He is at the top of the All-Star voting again for the East, and he's probably going to be a captain. But I think a lot of his support comes internationally.
Sure.
And I don't know if the average NBA fan in LA or the average NBA fan in Miami or Oklahoma City or Indiana, when they start to name who are the best players in the league, they'll go Harden and they'll name a couple Warriors and they'll name LeBron. And then I don't know when they name Giannis.
Well, Stephen A. Smith the other day. I mean, he loves James Harden. This is just one guy, though. He loves Harden, and I hear him talk about Harden. I feel like anytime I see him on TV, they're talking NBA, he's talking about James Harden. And it's like, man, Harden, I get it, okay? The guy likes to shoot a lot, but, man, if that's the kind of stuff that's working against Giannis, then Giannis might be in trouble. But, I mean, I think anybody who watches basketball looks at Giannis, and without a question, he's one of the top three players in the NBA, at the very least, one of the top three players in the NBA right now.
So we'll get into that. We'll want your calls around 8 o'clock today. Eric Name with The Athletic going to join us 8:35. We'll talk some football here this hour. Let's get to Tim in Fredonia, who wants to chime in on a Friday, 799-1250. What is up, Timmy?
Hi, Tim.
Gentlemen, good morning, Bart. I didn't know you had this cold, dude. Yeah, I've had it for 2 weeks, man.
I've been fighting it all week. I've been... Every day this week, outside of yesterday, I wasn't able to, but every day this week, I have slept from 10:30 to 5. It doesn't matter if that's the day or the night. If it was 10:30 to 5, I've been asleep.
Okay.
A.M. or P.M. Okay. 10:30 to 5. All every right. day this week. Get up for the Bucks, go back to sleep. It's been feel bad for me, Tim. I'm in so much pain.
I know. I got it. Hey, Bart, I feel your pain, bro. I went from my chest to my throat. Now it's in that nose where you got to, you know, you're going to sneeze all the time. I'm like, oh, man, come on, dude. You know, hey, you guys, I want to talk a little Packers, Bart. You mentioned something up in your pre-comments up to the show about Rodgers. And I think now with the new coach, you can correct me if I'm wrong, I think – that it's on him now. This is his legacy. He wanted the coach gone and with his body language. And if he falls on his ass, well, you know, then it's on him at the end of his career. So, you know what? When's your coach gone? And maybe the coach wasn't always the problem. I'm not saying he wasn't. I don't know. But maybe the coach wasn't the entire problem with the team. I mean, so this is on you. You're the man. You're making $130 or $140 million. And go from there. And one side note, guys, I just want to let you know, I did put in for the Brewers PA position. I sent them all my audio and resume and all that. So wish me luck on that I can get in and talk to them. And, Chuck, if you got any insight over there, I mean, I emailed.
I feel like there's, like, a lot of people that are, like, bleeding for that job.
I've had, like, a couple of people ask me about it, like, from out of the city. I don't know what they're doing over there. You know, here's my gut feeling that what they're going to do. I have a feeling that Edwards is going to do – still 20 to 25 games because he's not completely going to step out.
Right.
And then I think who was the backup play-by-play guy with the
Wayne
Brewers?
Grindle?
Grindle, yes. Good guy. I have a feeling maybe because Lane did a great job last year at the end of the season. And when Edwards went down, maybe Lane does the games because Lane's at every game anyway. Maybe Lane does the games where he's not broadcasting. Because the home games, Euchers are broadcasting anyway, and Lane is, you know, he's in the press box and all that, but he's not broadcasting the game.
I know, Chuck, but there's a lot of good PA guys around here, and it would give them an opportunity. The Brewers to really reach out in the community because, I mean, there's guys who have been doing this for 18 years, like myself, and you know, I'm not well known guy, Chuck, up in Ozaukee County, yeah, but I mean, this would give them an opportunity to really reach out and give these guys. All I want is a shot to audition. If you don't like me, tell me to get out, but at least give me a chance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hey, you know what? It doesn't matter if you're a name or not, or you've been living in Ozaukee. If you sound good and you're entertaining, give you a shot. Yeah, I got no problem with that. Absolutely.
That's all I'm asking for.
Just because you're a local, just because you're a local disc jockey or, you know, some legend in this town, you shouldn't have the inside track. Hire the best guy.
Chuck, I've been out doing that for years. I mean, I worked my ass off. I slept with my truck work and all that, and then you're constantly, they always say the big name guy.
Sam, I hope they give you the job just so you can afford a new phone.
I wish I understood what you said there, but it sounded good.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
See ya. Yeah. You know, I mean, the whole broadcasting business, PA and all that, it's all about catching a break. And if you catch a break, you make the most of it. Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Tim, I think he said he does Whitewater games. Yeah. If you sound good and people like you, and you sound, you're coming over the PA system and you could read well. Yeah. I think everybody, no matter where you are a PA guy, if you sound good, get a shot at that.
There's like eight guys that I've seen, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook, that have said, this is the job. This is the only job I've ever wanted for the Brewers PA job. There's going to be a lot of broken hearts.
Yeah, I don't think it's a full-time job. I think what they do is they pay it per game, unless they have something else in store where you got, I mean, it's not a full-time job just broadcasting or doing the PA for 81 games, unless they have you doing some other stuff as well. But I would think it's just one of those things where they give you a check for each game.
Chuck and Winkler, we are served up by Perkins. Little more Packers here with Mike Clemens. And I think we'll talk about Taysom Hill for the final time here this week on any show on all the stations. Can't guarantee that, but we'll try our very, very best. And a look at some of the other coaches that are making their way to Green Bay and what that means for the Packers going forward, especially some changes you may see in the run game and the style of offense the Packers are running. Mike Clemens, we talk to him next on The Fan.
Morstead,
it's a fake.
Settles at his 16. The Saints are going to fake it up the middle, and they're going to have enough for a first down, and what a call, Taysom Hill.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler. That is Chuck Freeman. One little tweet about Taysom Hill that I had over the weekend. It was when he threw that ball to Kamara. Now, the play got called back because of a hold, but I don't know if there was a better throw at all this weekend. And I tweeted out, imagine being the team that cut Taysom Hill. And there was a long discussion about that. And I know it's spilled over to the airwaves. And I know Gary Ellerson has been very anti. He's been saying, well, it's like the Packers, they wouldn't have used him like the Saints are. That's the point. You had a guy who was a talent. You got to find a way to be creative. I know Mike Clemens had my back on that one. Right, Mike? All I'm saying is that it's just a good example of the Packers letting talent go, because I think in these last few years of the McCarthy-Thompson thing, there was a structure, and Taysom Hill didn't fit in that structure, and thinking outside the box wasn't even an option for the regime.
Well, and Gary spent like a whole hour ripping us last night about the Taysom Hill thing. Did you hear any of that?
No, I've been going out of my way to avoid Gary this week.
I don't know. Maybe Gary's just, who knows, maybe just trying to raise a point, but in that camp, you had Brett Hundley, and then Taysom Hill was like the third or fourth quarterback, but when he got into the games, he was the biggest spark of that training camp, particularly the plays that he made against the Washington Redskins. You know, running for a touchdown, moving the team down the field, you could see the athleticism, and we thought for sure he was going to be the third quarterback, but instead Ted waived him that Saturday with the thought of probably he could clear waivers and that he would be there for the practice squad. But we talked to Sean Payton when the Packers played the Saints last year and said, you know, what about the Taysom Hill thing? He said, yeah. He said, we knew about all the receivers you guys had, and I was shopping for receivers, and then I saw what this guy had on tape during the preseason games, and when I saw he'd been waived, we scooped him up. And Sean Payton doesn't think of him necessarily as a quarterback, but as an athlete with the speed, physicality. He's a gunner on special teams. You know, there's all kinds of things you can use him in. And I think that that's the kind of, when you talk about that maybe McCarthy wasn't creative enough, that's the kinds of things you're talking about. Like, wait a minute, take a look at this guy. Don't just think of him as a average throwing third string quarterback. Maybe there's something else there. Look at his college tape, even though he's a little older and all that. And I don't know. So the Saints are going to the NFC Conference Championship game and Mike McCarthy's sitting at home.
So do you think that if you would have kept Taysom Hill, that Taysom would have found a way to do that? Or do you think McCarthy still would have been stuck in his ways and said, nope, he's just like an average quarterback. He's going to be my third string quarterback. We're going to keep him because he's a good athlete and a good quarterback, but I'm not going to use him in the ways that Sean Payton ended up using him for.
Well, and this is what the players are talking about and critics of the team in terms of creativity. There's a whole bunch of these teams that are going in this weekend that do all kinds of pre-snap misdirection, motion. They move guys, obviously Aaron moves guy just to try and see which way the safety is going to go, try and get him out of the way, open up a guy that's in the slot, etc. But they didn't. The Packers have not done it enough. Joe Philbin didn't do it during his 4 weeks. Tom Silverstein asked him directly, "Are you going to have a little fun during this four-game interim head coach period? You know, maybe even at least during practice or something." And Joe came back with, "We're the Green Bay Packers. We're a fundamental team. We work on blocking and tackling and catching the ball." And so that's what they wanted to do. And I think Matt Nagy is going to be, Matt Nagy, Matt LaFleur. See, there's another guy, with the creative kind of stuff in the backfield. I think Matt LaFleur is going to open it up a little bit. That seems to be some of the signs that he's going. This is what I thought was so amazing about the Saints and Sean Payton's performance as a head coach. They want to come out and throw deep on the Eagles early. They thought that's what was going to work for them. They had rolled it up on the Eagles earlier in the season. And instead, he throws a pick. And next thing you know, Nick Foles is marching down the field, and the Eagles are up 14-0. So Sean Payton goes from kind of a run-and-shoot open to then misdirection in some of those packages with Taysom Hill and all kinds of different kinds of fakes and motion around. He does that for like two quarters, and they get back, they tie the game up, they go up by a field goal, they're kind of neck and neck. And then late in the third quarter, so here's what Drew Brees said about that 11.5-minute drive in the divisional playoff.
"We actually gained 117 yards on that drive. I'm not sure if that's a record because of the penalties that kept setting us back. And so, yeah, we went on 117-yard drive in the third quarter to take the lead and then really didn't look back."
Domination.
Let's get to some of these hires that the Packers are doing. They're bringing in the are they going to hire this Rizzi, the special teams coach? He seems to be the hot name out there. He went to Green Bay. He left without an offer. He's highly thought of coming out of Miami. Of course, they had a coaching change there. Have you heard anything about what they're going to do with special teams?
Yeah, because, Rizzi got the job there like when Tony Sparano was the coach in 2010. That was a Dolphins team that beat the Packers in that Super Bowl year. And then he went through the Joe Philbin era and then through the Adam Gase era because his special teams ranked in the top 10 almost year after year with plenty of roster turnover and head coach turnover. So that's why this Darren Rizzi is probably the top prospect. He, interviewed for the head coaching job in Miami, too. But it looks like they're going to give it to Brian Flores, the sort of defensive coordinator for the Patriots right now. But there's one report I saw, though, where Matt Patricia is going to talk to him with Detroit. And obviously he feels he can get top dollar if he's special teams coordinator. Maybe he wants some sort of a associate coach thing going on, too. So he came to Green Bay and left without a deal, and that usually means, they're not going to be able to lock him up. So that's tough. Then they got to, replace James Camp in the offensive line and, Bakhtiari and Corey Linsley on down. Those guys are really disappointed to see James Camp gone after 15 years in Green Bay. He goes to the Cleveland Browns. I guess Joe Witt, the defensive back coach, is now getting picked up by the Cleveland Browns. So more of these Green Bay people now joining the Browns. So they're talking to this Adam Stanovich. Now, I remember him as a guy who I thought was going to develop into maybe a backup right guard or something, but he never really got on the field because, quite frankly, when he was on the team in like 06 or so, 07, they were really deep at offensive line.
So Stanovich was on the practice squad, right, like 13 years ago at offensive line?
Yeah, he was on the practice squad, for a year. I kept on thinking maybe they would bring him up, but like I say, they were doing so well at offensive line back in those days, didn't need him at the time. So he is gone. Here's the thing that's interesting. He's from the 49ers. That's Kyle Shanahan. So what basically Matt LaFleur is saying is, I want a Mike Shanahan, Denver Broncos, late 90s, zone blocking scheme. That's what we're going to do. We're going to cut block. We're going to go back to that because that's what Kyle Shanahan's running up with the 49ers these days. And that's why they want to get a look at this guy as their assistant line coach from the 49ers. Maybe he could help out with the staff of the offensive line because that's probably a direction LaFleur is going to go with that old Denver Broncos zone blocking scheme.
Didn't the Packers try that a few years ago?
They did when Jagosinski came in.
Yeah,
and he had worked with that Alex Grimm guy with the Atlanta Falcons for a while. You know, just after a while though, they got away with it because all the stuff they were doing when Aaron Rodgers took over in 08 and 09, and the way they were passing the football, and they just haven't had that much of a emphasis on the run game to begin with.
Mike Clemens joining us here, 105.7 FM, The Fan. The news that Nathaniel Hackett is going to be the offensive coordinator, that has been official. Now, he came from Jacksonville. We saw a lot of good behind-the-scenes look at him, and we talked to a lot of people about what he might bring to the fold. And I wonder now if, since he's not calling plays, if you might have LaFleur as the coach, Hackett as your offensive coordinator, but then also spend times with the quarterbacks, and maybe the Packers don't have a need for a quarterback coach. I know they just made it official letting Frank Sinetti Jr. go.
Yeah, Frank Sinetti. I mean, his dad is a legendary college coach in Pennsylvania. When Mike McCarthy got his first job at Pitt with Paul Hackett, Sinetti Jr., you know, whose dad is a big college coach, everybody knows his name, in Pennsylvania, they were graduate assistants to start out. So this was kind of a red flag to me a year ago at this time when Mike is firing people like Edgar Bennett and Dom Capers and these other guys and not bringing back Alex Van Pelt. And he's bringing in an old friend from Pittsburgh and Frank, who is a nice guy. He's got a lot of football experience, but his last 3 years were spent with Eli Manning when Ben McAdoo was with the Giants. I mean, those are two of Eli's worst years. Now they bring him in for Aaron Rodgers. Why do you think Aaron Rodgers was frustrated? Not only did you take away Alex Van Pelt, you brought in some old buddy off the street that you trust or something? I mean, what about bringing in an innovative quarterback coach? One day after the Patriots game, Frank Sinetti was asked in a presser that we had with him about a specific play to Equanimeous St. Brown that we all knew about, and he couldn't figure it out. Listen to this.
You know, throwaways, protection. You know, you just keep working on making great decisions. You know, just coming together, doing the best job you can, taking advantage of opportunities.
Did you have a chance for a big play on that one? Equanimeous St. Brown bent it inside. It was a blitz.
Well, anytime you'd like to always take advantage of plays, you know.
So what happened on it?
I'm trying to think of which play you're actually talking about here.
It was a deep blitz, I think 32 blitzed right open to Aaron. I mean, it was like he was free runner right at Aaron, and he threw it up. And
yeah, I can't think of the play right now.
Wow. Can't think of a play. He sounds like me after a Brewers playoff game.
I mean, exactly, but I'm, you know, and I know sometimes there's 75 plays, but everybody in the room knew what we were talking about. We thought that he would probably be prepared because that was a critical moment in that game, and it just blank. It was blank. Like, really? I mean, so anyway, no surprise that Frank is gone, and basically most of the offensive side of the ball is gone, too. They haven't talked about this Jim Hostler guy that McCarthy brought in last year, too, but obviously he'll be replaced.
Mike Clemens, always appreciate the insight. We will talk to you, Mike, throughout the offseason. A good resource, you can follow him on Twitter at Mike Clemens NFL here on The Fan. Some more football throughout the show next hour. We'll take a look at the Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers legacy when you match those guys up against each other. We'll do our championship weekend picks around 9 o'clock here this morning. You're probably not pumped that there's going to be some snow this weekend, and I'll tell you, I've got my Santa Fe Sport, and I'm ready for it. I'm going to be doing a little bit of traveling this weekend. Not a ton, but enough to be on the road and really get my tires under the snow this weekend. So I'm excited to hit the road and just see what the Santa Fe Sport can do. Got this in May from West Dallas Hyundai. It's been a great vehicle. Love the car. I love all the updates to the technology. I'm not kidding. On my drive over here, I was listening to the radio. Taz and the Moose, of course, 105.7 FM, The Fan, right before us. And a little notification came on my screen that said I was due for an oil change. And then I also got an email that said I was due for an oil change because it recognized how many miles I had gone. So cool things like that through their BlueLink technology. That's just a great feature of the Hyundai vehicles. The Hyundai vehicles, very, very great, very reliable. A lot of good assurances, warranties, and deals that Hyundai provides. Now, on top of that, the guys at Hyundai West Dallas can go even further, and what they're really doing is focusing on you guys. You guys that listen to the station, listen to the fan throughout the day, the big show, the Bill Michaels show, this show right here, you listen to the station. Some of you, most of you, all of you at some point are going to need a new vehicle. That's what they specialize in, so they want to make that connection because they love the station too. They listen to it all day. They've been putting the presets on the station so that other people can listen to it in the cars that they're selling. So go meet these guys. Check them out, from Roger to Anthony to Mike to Chris to Dan. It's a really good crew over there of guys that they'll start as a sales associate or whatever you want to call it, but they'll become a friend on the inside when it comes to the car dealership business, and that is what you look for. Check these guys out, Hyundai West Dallas, right in between Lincoln and National, right off Highway 100 on Arthur. You can pop in there. They're part of the International Autos Group. There's locations all around that street on Arthur, but the Hyundai West Dallas location is where I got my vehicle, and it's where I would recommend you do your shopping as well. Check them out, HyundaiWestDallas.com. Online again at HyundaiWestDallas.com, just off Highway 100, right off of Arthur. The big show yesterday, speaking of, did a really interesting question regarding this Bucks team and the last great Bucks team. We'll explore that next here on The Fan.
Keep it alive here for Giannis. Giannis, and enters.
Mike
what
Conley.
A great change
Mike Conley
of the direction.
Jr., yeah, but Conley Jr. was way too short to go on that ride.
He didn't meet the height requirement.
He did not meet the height requirement.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Yeah, Giannis is pretty good. All right, we all know that. Leading in the All-Star voting for the Eastern Conference. Although, where exactly are those votes coming from? We'll get into that at 8 o'clock. Eric Name of The Athletic to join us at 8:35 here this morning. But as I was driving home yesterday, I was listening to The Big Show, and they were talking about this Bucks team versus the 2001 Eastern Conference Finals Bucks team. And they were having a discussion. They called it a barbershop discussion, because obviously these two teams will never play each other. I mean, you got to always do these qualifiers when we do these kind of questions. And I thought, man, that's a good topic. I wish we would have thought of it. And then I thought, I want to talk about it with Freems. So this Bucks team, when you match them up, and you know I'm high on them. I'm so high on them, I'm bored with the regular season. I'm so high on them, I think they're going to go to the finals. This Bucks team, the 2018-2019 Bucks team. Well, the last Bucks team to do that, or at least get to the Eastern Conference Finals, the last Bucks team to win a playoff series in general, was the 2000-2001 Bucks team. So the question is, in a seven-game set, do you got this Bucks team or do you got that Bucks team? Now, I'm going to take this Bucks team for a couple of reasons. One, I'm super high on them. But two, when I watched the Bucks team back then, I was, what was I? I was a senior in high school, junior in high school. So I'm not watching these games with the same sort of, I guess, level of attention that I'm watching them with now. So I know more about this team than I know more about that team. But Chuck, I know you were there for the ride.
Yeah, I that team had Ray Allen, future Hall of Famer. This team's got Giannis. Early indications are that guy could be headed to the Hall of Fame. I'm going to take this team. You know, before the start of the season, I wouldn't have said that. I didn't think they'd be like 20 games over the 500 mark at this point of the season. But I'm going to say this team is the best Bucks team, Bart, since those 80s Bucks teams.
Wow.
Those early 80s. Yeah, I mean, well, definitely in the last 30 years. But yeah, definitely. You know, I wouldn't go as far as to say they're better than the 71 Bucks or the, you know.
Well, that I can give you no details.
Neither can I. I was four.
And the game is way too different.
But those 80s teams are pretty good, but this team is right there. This team is right there with those best teams of all time in Bucks history. I mean, they are. I mean, from what I've seen through the first half of the season, I think, yes, this team in a seven-game series. With today's rules, this team in a seven-game series would definitely beat the 2001 Bucks.
You guys can chime in, 799-1250,
414-799-1250. There's no doubt in my mind.
You can tweet us at 105.7 FM The Fan, Facebook as well. Who you got between this current Bucks team and the last Bucks team that made the Eastern Conference Finals back in 2001?
Yeah, that's, I mean, it's a good question, but I think this team is better. Those guys, of course, they had the big three. I think the Bucks have like the big five. I mean, Brook Lopez, their center is better. They had Ray, but I think Giannis, if you put those two teams together right now and you were to do a draft, would you take Ray over Giannis?
Oh, if you did a draft for these two teams?
Yeah.
No, I would take Giannis first.
So Giannis would be the best player on the court if both the teams played.
Would you take Ray second?
Yeah, I'd have to take him second. I mean, you have to go boom, boom, but I'd still take, if you're going to take, who's the best player on the floor between the two teams?
Who would you take third?
Who's going to stop Giannis on that team?
The starting lineup in 2000-2001, Cassell, Ray, Glenn Robinson, Big Dog, Tim Thomas, light it up, and then Irvin Johnson.
Yeah. Right?
And then you had like your Lindsey Hunters and Darvin Hams, Jason Caffey, Scott Williams.
Oh, I take the Bucks bench right now.
Michael Redd was very young on that team.
Yeah, he didn't play.
This team, obviously, Bledsoe, Brogdon, Middleton, Greek Freak, Splash Mountain.
Yeah, I mean, all those guys.
Hill, Ersan.
Look at the bench. DJ Wilson off the bench. Yeah, I'd take this one. I'm not saying they'd sweep it. They'd probably win it in six games.
Who would you draft third? So you take Giannis, I take Ray, you take?
Let's see. I mean, it comes down to, well, I mean, Rob, I mean,
Middleton?
Okay. I would take, here's how I would do it. I'd go Giannis, Ray, and then Glenn Robinson. But then the next few picks would be guys from this current Bucks team. I'd say Glenn would be the third best player on the floor. But then I would go Middleton. And then I would take Bledsoe. I would take Brook Lopez over the Irvin Johnson every day. I mean, Irvin Johnson had stones for hands. That's how bad his hands were. But yeah, I mean, the Bucks may have two of the three best players on the court, but Giannis would be the best player.
Nick says the big three will punk these fools. Scott Williams will be in there to bully Giannis. Don't even get me started on this.
Scott Williams couldn't keep up with Giannis.
Big Dog 45 says, tough call. The 2001 team knocked down jumpers. No one is covering Ray, and they played much more physical than these guys do. Scott Williams would take out somebody.
Yeah, but you said it to today's game, right?
Today's game.
But the Bucks are pretty good shooters.
But that Bucks team was good shooters, too.
Yeah, but
they almost fit better into this system than that one.
Yeah, I mean, Cassell was a mid-range guy. He was in a three-point shooter. You know, Robinson, he was more of a mid-range guy. Ray Allen was the three-point shooter on that team. I would still take this current Bucks team.
This team or the 2000-2001 Bucks team? And keep in mind, that team did actually get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
We have not seen what this team's going to do in the postseason yet.
And the big part about it, here's the big difference between these two teams. The Bucks have way better team chemistry than that team. That team was always fighting among themselves. Who should shoot the ball? You heard George Karl, and look where they were in the next year.
Who's got the edge in coaching?
Well, they're both good coach. I mean, George Karl's a great coach, except he's one of those guys that, he burns himself out with the team after a while. Him and Ray Allen didn't get along. I mean, that's an obvious back then. But I would say as far as team chemistry, because Carl would always be talking about sharing the basketball. We got to do a better job sharing the basketball. I feel like you had a couple of guys who had their own agendas on that team, but this one I don't feel he got that. I'm just sensing a real good team chemistry, Bart, with these guys. I don't know how you feel about that, but I just see a team that gets along so much better than that 2001 team.
They were just talking, Matt Velasquez, Eric Name, who will join us at 8:35 today, about just how loose this locker room is. They've never seen anything like it in any sport that they've covered. Yeah, the chemistry on this team is phenomenal. 799-1250. Let's get to Skyler on the north side. Skyler, what's up?
Skyler.
Hey, what's up, y'all? Hey, this is a good topic because I did hear it yesterday, and I didn't call in, but I was just laughing because Gary and them, their biggest thing was Tim Thomas.
I thought I saw from tweets that one of them said Tim Thomas would shut down Giannis. Was that
true?
I
just laughed at that. I said, stop it. My Giannis would, I don't want to be bothered, but Giannis would destroy Tim Thomas.
Oh, you are right.
Destroy him.
Who said Tim Thomas would stop Giannis?
I think it was Gary.
Oh, Tim Thomas would have no interest in guarding Giannis.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Come on, Gary.
I mean, it'll be a good one, I would say, but I do like this Bucks team because I think Eric Bledsoe got enough girth and enough bulkiness to Cassell couldn't really manhandle him, even though he's taller, because Cassell's more, he like to put you in a post and throw you in that post and throw that fadeaway, and he'll dissect you with that, but I think with Bledsoe, he got enough girth under him, he wouldn't really be able to do that to Bledsoe like that. So, and as far as the best player, Giannis would be the best player out of both of them teams, but still, Tracy McGrady was the best player when the Bucks played Orlando, but still, this team is better than our Orlando team, so I would take this Bucks team, but it'll be a good one, but I like this Bucks team. I like this Bucks team.
Yeah, that's a good matchup there, Cassell and Bledsoe. For different reasons, you like that matchup, but Cassell, he wanted his shots, too. Always felt like Cassell thought he was he didn't have to take a backseat to Ray. And as far as Tim Thomas is concerned, boy, what a mistake of a contract they gave him. I think it was 5 years, $60 million. And that was a wasted amount of money. Really a wasted. Tim Thomas had all the athletic ability in the world. He did. 6'10", could run the court, could shoot. But, God, that guy just never materialized how we all thought he was going to materialize.
This Bucks team or the Bucks team that went to the 2001 Eastern Conference Finals, no matter what the answer, it's going to, for me, it's Bucks and six.
Bucks and six, always. That's for the culture.
But I did respond to their tweet yesterday, and I said that it would be this Bucks team in six. And again, I watched every one of those games. Mm-hmm. I was there the entire season. I can't break down that team like maybe I can this one, but I would just think with Giannis and then the starting five that you have now. I mean, Cassell, Ray, Big Dog, Tim Thomas, Irvin Johnson. I look at this starting lineup with Brogdon and Bledsoe and Middleton and Giannis and Brooke Lopez as just flat out better. And maybe 15 years from now, I'll look at this starting lineup and think of Brooke Lopez the same way I might think of Irvin Johnson. But I don't know. I think this starting five, man, is as good of a starting five as the Bucks have ever had in my life.
Yeah, and I think the Eastern Conference is tougher now than it was back then, at least in that year. I thought maybe, you have Philadelphia, and Allen Iverson just willed that team. I mean, he was basically a one-man team. And they had Eric Snow, and they were good, but it was Iverson trying to...
Oh, I hated Eric Snow.
Yeah, I mean, he was a guy...
Oh, my God.
From Michigan State. I remember his days at Michigan State. He used to kill the Badgers. Eric Snow, fire and ice.
Hated that guy.
But he always would hit some shots. But if you look at the two teams, Philadelphia and the Bucks, I thought, man for man, were better than that team. And still, they couldn't win the series, and they got blown out in Game 7. I hear the Scott Williams thing and all that, but still, as it was, the Bucks were a better team. The Bucks should have gone to the finals that year.
Let's get to Doug in St. Francis. What's up, Doug?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call. This is a fun topic this morning. You have some very, very good observations so far. Hey, I've been, I'm older, right? I've been alive and old enough to start watching the Bucks from the first day they came into Milwaukee. Season ticket holder during the 2000 season, went to the playoff games. I think you guys are right. I like this Bucks team because they're deeper. They're longer, they're more athletic. The game is a little bit different. It was more physical back in 2000 than it is now. And you nailed it before. This team plays loose. The 2000 team had a lot of egos on that team. Too many big egos. Ray and George Karl didn't get along. And I also like this coach a lot better. I'll just close with this thought, right? So if we would, go back to the 1970 team with Big O and Lou Alcindor at the time, if you take away the three-point line, which it was during that era, that team beats this team, hands down.
You mean you take away the three-point line right now, or you add it back in 71?
Right now. No, I take it away now.
Yeah. Oh, it's a different game. I mean, you look at all the years. I mean, the The 71 Bucks, they went through Jabbar. You know, he was averaging his 30 points a game, but he was getting it all hook shots and shots around the lane. And but now it's a different game. Bart, I don't think this is the best team in Bucks history, but it's you know, and it's got a lot to prove in the postseason yet too. But it's I mean, it could be on its way. It could be one of those teams that in the next couple of years, depending who all stays and what kind of pieces stay around Giannis. But although if you were going to compare this to those late 70s, early 80s Bucks teams, which would win 55 and 60 games with Lanier and Marcus Johnson, I don't know. I would probably still take those teams right now, but this would be better than the 2001 team.
Let's get to D in Colorado. What's up, D? Good morning.
Hey, D.
Hey, man, what's good with y'all? Now, first, before I say what I got to say, dude, I think this Bucks team this year is going to have a better record than 2001. I think this Bucks team this year could go to the finals. But if you're telling me you playing that Bucks team in 2001 in the playoffs, dude, the reason why this Bucks team was lost is the same reason why we lost in the playoffs last year, the same reason why we lost in the playoffs the year before that. This Bucks team could not hold a guard to save their butt like Ray Allen. And I wasn't a huge Ray Allen fan at that time, Chuck, and you remember, the way the media and everything split, it was like, you like the Ray Allen or you like the big dog. I was a big dog guy. And I'm telling you, man, watching Ray Allen with the children alive, and everybody keeps talking about his different roles, was more physical. That Bucks team back then was the same, but that was the biggest knock on them. They were soft. So you're telling me a jump shooting team who had jump shooters couldn't fit into this era now? Yes, Giannis will be the best player on the court, and yes, Giannis will get off. But, man, big dog rolling off the floor with 22 points on Chris Newton all day, and Ray Allen's going to score 40.
So you're going the old team. Are you going in 4, 5, 6, 7?
Man, I think, dude, honestly, I think it wouldn't go no longer than 6. And I think one of them games would be pivotal where this team could win, and if they didn't, that'd cost them to be the 5 or the 6. You know what I'm saying? I think there'd be some scrappy games, but I just think y'all living in the moment with this team, because yes, this team has better chemistry. Yes, this team has better PR, because there's no big dog Thomas. I mean, if he got robbed, he's going to buy a gun. There's no Tim Thomas being in the hood sleeping with every chick in the world. There's no George Carl being an egomaniac. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, I guess. So, D.
Yeah, I guess I can hear every like third word you're saying here. What was funny he said there?
Tim Thomas was sleeping with every girl in Milwaukee.
Well, that I don't know about, but.
D, thanks.
Team chemistry, Bucks, this Bucks team, you know, coaching. George could never get that team to play the way he wanted them to play. Like Budenholzer can get this team to play the way he wants it to play. Kind of see what I'm saying there? You know, I mean, I thought they're both good coaches, but George never got never got the full potential out of that team. And then by the next year, Bart, they missed the playoffs. And they added Anthony Mason, who Carl wanted, and they never got any better. They got worse.
Paul tweets in, says, you guys are sleeping on Sam Cassell. I might draft him 2nd in a redraft. Over Ray.
Well, not over Ray.
Well, if he's going to take him 2nd.
Yeah.
Because you're going to go Giannis.
I mean, one thing about Cassell, man.
Unless he's going Ray, Sam.
Cassell had.
I still
remember the big playoff game he had against Charlotte in game 6, the force of game 7. He had 35 and was hitting every mid-range jumper. But you know, when Cassell was on, he was on. But sometimes when he was bad, he was bad.
799-1250, we could talk more about this. Would this current Bucks team beat the team back in 2000-2001? We'll read some more answers, take some more calls. 799-1250. Feels like most of us are shifting towards this Bucks team, but there is some doubt of that. 799-1250, Chuck and Winkler here on The Fan, plus your chance at $1,000 next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.